Hey there, I'm Jen, a pediatric registered dietitian who teaches you how to feed your kids and do it right.
And I'm Izzy, a student at UNH learning all there is to know about nutrition and dietetics with plans to become a pediatric registered dietitian.
On our podcast, Mom, What's for Dinner?, we dig deep into childhood nutrition and teach you not only what to feed your kids, but how to feed them.
Join us for conversations about things like eating disorders, RFID, sugar, body image, the gut, and so much more.
We release episodes every Tuesday morning. We can't wait for you to listen.
Welcome back to Mom, What's for Dinner? I stole it. I stole our intro.
You stole the intro.
You always say it. I never get to say it.
I know. Which is, yeah, like you can say it more if you want. I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe. We're almost at like 50 episodes and I'm like, I want to say the intro.
She's got her little hands on her hips. Like, shaking them at me.
I've got some attitude tonight.
She sure does. Okay. Today we are talking about portion sizes for kids. The question, well, how much is my kid supposed to eat? How much am I supposed to give them?
Yeah.
And we're going to give you the best advice that we can here. But there has to be an understanding that these are just guidelines and every child is an individual.
Right. And just like every person's an individual. We all need different amounts.
Every child is going to have different levels of hunger and different levels of foods that are right for them. So please know that these are guidelines.
Yeah.
And your child may eat more than this or less than this, and that is okay.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. We're also going to do a little information and kind of education around serving sizes and the serving sizes you get on like a package or a nutrition facts label.
Yeah.
So we're going to do a little bit of that too.
I think we should actually start there.
Yeah, we can start there.
Talk to us about serving sizes. I think reading labels is so second nature to us because this is what we do.
Right.
But a lot of people don't read labels. And when they do, all they look at is calories.
Yes.
And so that's like not even really all that helpful.
I don't even look at calories.
I don't either, like ever.
Yeah, because it's so much more about what makes up those calories and the breakdown of the nutrients that are in the foods.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
So we're going to talk a little bit about serving sizes. And a serving size is the, I guess, quote unquote, suggested portion or amount of food that should be eaten, and that is what's shown on like a nutrition facts label. If you were to flip over, say, a bag of goldfish, I feel like we always use goldfish as our examples, but
I know, I don't know why.
Easy.
It's like the perfect like quote kid food.
Yeah, it just and like I pops actually, right up in my brain.
I really love them.
Yeah.
Sometimes for my birthday, my mom gets me a bag of goldfish.
Nice. Nice. So let's say you're flipping over that bag of goldfish and you're looking at the nutrition facts label. So at the top, it's going to say something about a serving size. And then I don't know if it's underneath it or above it. I'm doing this from memory. It's the amount of servings per container.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the big calories and then the amount of calories in that serving. And so the nutrition facts label is completely dependent on the serving size that it gives you. So say the serving size is, I think it's high for goldfish, like 50 or 45 crackers or something like that.
55
goldfish. There we go. That's why we talk about goldfish, because we know the serving size.
Mm-hmm.
But so the serving size of goldfish is 50 crackers. So say, I'm totally making these numbers up, so don't take them anyway. But say it's like 150 calories for 55 goldfish or whatever it actually
is.
It's
probably close.
So yeah, that's the number of calories that is in 55 goldfish, and say it's like 1 or so grams of protein, however many carbs, however much salt, sodium, whatever. So the serving size on there is the quote unquote suggested portion of how much you should eat. And that's determined by a couple different factors. Sometimes if a brand wants to be sneaky, they will alter and change up and pick a certain serving size because it makes the nutrients inside the product look a certain way, right? So this I think is true more for, I learned about this for trans fats, that if a serving size is small enough in a certain food, they can say that
it contains none.
It contains no trans fats when if you were to have 3 times the suggested serving size of that food, you might be consuming like 1 gram of trans fat or something like that.
Yeah. So this goes for any nutrient. If the product contains less than half a gram of that nutrient, the label can list it as zero because rounding.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
I just looked this up on the Google. Mm-hmm. This is on the FDA website. In 1993, when the U.S. Food and Drug Administration created the Nutrition Facts label, the standards used to determine serving sizes, called the Reference Amounts Customarily Consumed, or RACCs for short, were based primarily on surveys of food consumption conducted in 1977 to 1978 and 1987 to 1988. So that's how the sizes were determined, based on these surveys of what people ate in the 70s and 80s.
So now that we're in 2024...
Yeah. Now, the Nutrition Facts label did go through an update a few years ago.
Oh, good.
And so...
Was it 2014 or something? They made a couple different changes about nutrients.
I forget. So they were supposed to change them, and then it got, like, pushed on hold for a while.
This is all kind of RD nutrition student stuff that we get into a lot.
We're just nerding out. This doesn't actually really matter for your kids.
But so basically what I'm getting at here is the serving size is made up by these brands and these...
Well, so it's based on what the FDA put out, or
the surveys.
The FDA.
Yep.
But yeah, manufacturers can be sneaky.
Yes.
And be like, all right, we know our intended audience is probably eating more than this amount.
Right.
But let's say the serving size is X so that we can say no trans fat or fat-free or whatever.
Yes, so that they can make certain claims. Mm-hmm. Another thing is that serving sizes are, and that what Jen just read is pretty clear, has nothing to do with kids. It's all based on adults. So a serving size for a child might not necessarily match, or the serving size that it says on a Nutrition Facts label might not match a serving size for a child.
Right. That's a really good point. I mean, if they're taking if they're based on these surveys of food consumption in the 70s and 80s, I'm sure they weren't surveying kids.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And like we talked about before, portions and serving sizes are so individual. And that's why I think most people don't necessarily listen to the serving size, because they're impractical. Usually it's like, I think a serving size for Oreos is like 2 or 3 Oreos. Like, who just has 2 or 3 Oreos and then like goes along their day? Maybe some people, but I feel like most people have like 4 or 5. Like, that's a,
that's
what
like
I would see as an okay, normal amount of Oreos to eat.
I know.
So yeah, that's something that I think people already know, but you don't have to listen to the serving size and the portion sizes, but it is something interesting that you can pay attention to.
Since you just said that, so there's a difference between serving size and portion size.
There is.
So a serving size is what's written on that label, what's recommended, or say it's something that doesn't have a label, right? Like an apple.
Right.
You know, it's based on sort of standard, like probably healthy eating index, like, you know, food tables that are out there. So like serving would be 1 apple.
Right.
Portion size is the amount that is actually consumed.
Right. So if we're using that Oreo example, 2 to 3 Oreos might be the serving size, but the 4 to 5 Oreos that you're eating is actually what the portion size is.
Yeah. So the question here that we're talking about today is like, what are appropriate portions for kids? Do I need to stick to the serving size?
Mm-hmm.
Or can their portion be bigger or smaller?
Right.
Based on multiple different factors.
Yes.
So the answer is, it's very individual. So let's give some general guidelines. And so you can look up on the internet, you know, portion sizes for kids. And so we came across a chart healthykids.org. And it just goes through the food groups, right? So according to My Plate, the fruits, veggies, grains, proteins, and dairy, and tells you sort of what is the appropriate amount per... Let me see. So it says servings per day. So for fruits, 2 to 3. So basically, starting at age 1, it's saying every child needs 2 to 3 servings of fruit, 2 to 3 servings of vegetables, 6 to 11 servings of grains, 2 servings of protein foods, and 2 to 3 servings of dairy.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds pretty reasonable.
Right. And I do want to say, because obviously it's a podcast, you guys can't look at this chart with us, the link to the website and this chart is in the description of the episode. So if you want to look at this at another time, it's linked in the description.
Right. I think some people might be taken aback by the grains recommendation, 6 to 11 servings.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like it's a lot in comparison.
It sounds like a lot. We need to remember that grains are carbohydrates. Carbohydrates are the primary source of energy, especially for kids, because they're growing.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're listening and you either are someone or know someone who does low carb, you know, no grains and this and that, that's totally inappropriate for a child. Unless it's the only situation I can think of that's appropriate is if they're on a keto diet for epilepsy.
Yeah.
Not keto for weight loss.
Which keto, fun fact, was initially created for children with medication resistant epilepsy.
Right.
Yeah.
Epilepsy, for anyone who doesn't know, is a seizure disorder.
Yes.
And I actually work with kids who are currently on a keto diet and doing well with seizure management on the keto diet. So
yes.
I get very protective of keto. Anyway.
Right, because it's been kind of abused. But that's our fun fact. That's really the only example or time that a low-carb diet is kind of appropriate for a growing child.
Yeah, like kids need grains. So that's why that serving is set at 6 to 11 servings. So basically, all kids need all 5 food groups.
Mm-hmm.
And just the amounts, like recommended guidelines, just increase with age.
Right.
So, for example, we'll just go through some of these. So let's talk about grains, actually, because that's usually a big one. I think a lot of parents are concerned, like, my kid eats too many grains.
Mm-hmm.
So what is a serving? So, for example, a child the age of 1 to 3, the recommended serving size for bread is 1/2 slice.
Mm-hmm.
For pasta, rice, cereal, it's 1/4 cup. For crackers, it's 2 to 3.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here's the thing about 1 to 3-year-olds. They are extremely variable.
Yeah.
So there are days where I have a 3-year-old. There are days where she might only eat 1/4 cup of rice,
mm-hmm.
and then the other foods on her plate. But then there are days where I might serve her 1/4 cup. She eats it all and she asks for like 3 more portions of rice during that meal.
Mm-hmm.
I'm giving her more rice.
Yeah.
Because I want to create abundance.
Mm-hmm.
We talked a little bit more about this in our mealtime struggles episode.
Yes.
I am not going to deny her the food if there is more to be had. And I'm not going to worry about
exactly how many servings.
Too many green servings. And
right.
I'll talk more about that in a second. But then there are days where, you know, so a serving size for the bread for 1 to 3 is 1/2 slice. Well, she's at an age where she wants the whole thing because she wants it big, like moms. And, like, she gets really mad if I cut her bread in half. So I don't.
Yes.
I give her the whole thing. And she takes a bite, and she's done.
Yeah.
So I'm not worried because I know that she's probably going to have, like, multiple servings of the other grain later.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all going to come out in the wash.
Right.
So that's okay. Meats and other proteins, 2 servings a day. Let me back up to grains. Okay, so I went through portion sizes age 1 to 3, and then there's a column portion sizes ages 4 to 6 where it's similar. It's 1/2 cup of like rice or pasta instead of 1/4 cup. It's 3 to 4 crackers instead of 2 to 3. You know, we're really splitting hairs here.
Right.
And then for ages 7 to 10, it's okay, 1 slice of bread. 4 to 5 crackers,
mm-hmm.
you know, 1 cup of dry cereal. So it just kind of increases incrementally.
Yeah.
With age.
Another thing I want to say here, we're using a lot of like cup measurements. And I'm going to go through later another way to kind of guesstimate portions a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Based on your child's hand, actually. So I'm going to talk about those after Jen goes through kind of the layout for a couple of these different nutrients in like cup sizes, measurements.
Cool. Yeah, cool. For meats and other proteins, 2 servings a day. So when we say other proteins, that would be like beans or tofu or a legume, peanut butter. So 2 servings a day. I think a lot of parents do get concerned that their child isn't eating enough protein. And let's remember that there is a whole separate dairy section, 2 to 3 servings a day recommended, and dairy has protein. So for meats, an ounce of meat is considered a portion size for ages 1 to 3. So that would be like one meatball, one slice of cheese or deli turkey, or like a third of a chicken breast or something like that. It's half an egg. My daughter would eat 3 hard-boiled eggs if you let her. You know, a quarter of a cup of beans. And then so as the child gets older, by the time they're in that 7 to 10 range, it's 2 to 3 ounces of meat, 1 or 2 eggs. But again, going by their cues, and if they ask for more, you can give them more. Another way to think about portions for kids is a tablespoon per year of age. So for example, if you have a 4-year-old, start them out with 4 tablespoons, which is a quarter of a cup of whatever it is, right? Chicken, rice, and green beans. And if they ask for more, let them have more. And you can learn more about why we do that on the Mealtime Struggles episode. And we talk about this all the time. Like, if
it comes
more,
up a lot.
If there's more to be had, let them have more. Obviously, if your child isn't one yet, you know, start them with a tablespoon of, you know, if you have a baby, start them with like a tablespoon, see where they get, and you will get to know your baby and how they communicate with you and what they want more of. I know my 9-month-old will just like stare at something on the table and go,
she like grunts,
until I give it to her, and then she's happy. All right, and then for dairy, 2 to 3 servings. So for a 1 to 3-year-old, that's 1/2 cup of milk, 1/2 ounce of cheese, so that would be like 1/2 slice.
Tiny.
1/3 cup of yogurt. And then once they get up to like ages 7 to 10, that's 1 full cup of milk, 1 ounce of cheese, up to 1 cup of yogurt. Wouldn't it be nice if it were this simple and kids actually ate like this nice puzzle? Which is not how it goes. Do you want to tell more about portions using the hand? That's a really helpful
So visual. Let's talk about proteins first. So a serving for, or I guess I'll use portions. A portion for protein would be, and we're going to use all of this in terms of your child's hand. So it's
relative to them.
So a portion of protein would be the size of the palm of your child's hand. So if their hand is out flat, it would be just the palm of their hand would be like a portion size of protein, whatever that might
Which
be.
Which is like a meatball. I'm picturing Mia holding a meatball. Like, it's great.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, so that's what we're looking at for portion sizes for protein for kids. Now let's talk about carbohydrates. So we're still going on that same guide as using the child's hand. But this time we're going to say a portion size of carbohydrates, which is rice, pasta, cereal, whatever it might be, would be the size of their closed fist. So, I don't know. That sounds about right for...
A closed fist for a child? Yeah, it's probably anywhere from 1/4 cup to 1/2 cup.
Right.
So that makes sense.
Yeah. And the same is true for fruits and veggies for portion sizes as well. Same as carbohydrates, the size of their closed fist. And then they had this in there, so I figured I would include it. This is about healthy fats. I'm assuming it's similar to, like, oils or maybe if you put, like, butter on toast or whatever it might be. It's about the size of the top of their thumb. So.
Yep. So from, like, the bottom of their thumbnail to the top. That's a fat serving.
So that's what portions are looking like. Do we want to talk about building a plate using those portions?
Yeah, for sure. My plate is really the best guideline to go by. Thanks, USDA. We have a whole episode on my plate, so you can look back and, episode 20? Cool. And basically what we want to aim for is 1/4 of the plate, a protein source, 1/4 of the plate, some kind of carbohydrate or starchy vegetable. So that might be potato, butternut squash, peas, corn, and then half the plate fruit and veggies. And again, that's a starting guideline. And you know your child best. A lot of kids are very picky. And if they are not a vegetable eater, you're not going to fill half their plate with broccoli because that's so overwhelming and they are not going to eat it. So you might just put one broccoli florette on there. And, you know, you might be working on some strategies to help them accept something like broccoli. But for a child who, like, eats fine, eats everything, that's generally what you can do.
And if you are, little plug here, because you know I love a good plug for our past episodes. If you are working with your child and on trying new foods, you can try a concept called food chaining, which we have an episode on, and it is actually our previous episode. So go back and listen to the last episode if you want to learn about food chaining and how that can help introduce new foods if your child is a picky eater.
Definitely. I said earlier I wanted to come back to grains and if you worry that your child eats too many grains and what to do. So many kids gravitate towards grains.
Right.
Because they're easy to eat, they melt in your mouth, they taste good, they're comforting.
Yes, very. You
know? And so I get parents who worry about, you know, my kid's eating too much pasta at dinner and I have to say no because they'll just eat it all. Well, let's look at the balance of the whole day. Okay, so I don't want to, I don't want anyone to hyperfixate on the composition of one particular meal and get really worked up about that. Let's look at the whole day. If you're concerned your child is eating too many grains, make sure that perhaps they're snacking on foods that are not grains, like fruits and vegetables.
Right.
So instead of having things like crackers, popcorn, granola bars,
goldfish,
in the pantry, goldfish for snacks, encourage apple with peanut butter, carrots with hummus, eat, you know, broccoli with ranch dressing. And I think it's the snacking. I think we said in our snacking episode, like, up to 55% of calories for kids or something come from snacks.
Yeah, I think it's something like that. It's a large percentage.
Something like that. So, you know, if you are concerned that your child is eating too much of one particular type of food or food group, really encourage that the snacking be those fruits and vegetables. And we know we want to be getting in 2 to 3 servings of fruits, 3 or so servings of vegetables each day. And if they're not happening at meals, well, when are they happening?
Snacks are a good opportunity. Yeah,
exactly. Our snacking episode is number 9, so you can flip back and look at episode number 9.
Yes, and if you're looking for more snack ideas, we also have a publication, the Ultimate Guide to Creative Snacks. Yes. That's got a ton of new and like unique ideas for snacks that can help to get fruits and vegetables in a way that's a little more fun and interesting.
For sure. And the reason that we created that was because, I mean, so many parents just say to me, I just need ideas. I just don't know what to do.
Yeah.
And it's like, you need ideas? Here you go. Here's 70 of them.
Yeah.
You know?
So the link to that will also be in the description of the episode as well.
Yep, for sure. So we've gone through what the portion sizes generally look like. I really like using the hand, you know, so you don't have to remember like quarter cup, half a cup.
Right.
Like your child always has their hand on them. Start with these guidelines, but if your child asks for more of a food, let them have it. Unless there's a really good reason not to, like we don't have any more. Or, no, you can't have 3 more prunes because you're going to get diarrhea.
Right. Or we need those leftovers to have for lunch tomorrow because the day is going to be super busy or whatever it might be.
Right, right. But really try not to restrict based on some preconceived notion about food like carbs or grains, for example, that you might have as an adult. You know, kids need those grains. They need their dairy. They need their proteins, of course. And so really let your child lead the way in what their body needs.
Absolutely.
And how much they should and want to eat. We went over the hand for portions. We talked about my plate. We talked about what to do if your child asks for more. Let them have it. I think that wraps that up.
I think it does too. Yeah, let's talk about Jen What's Cooking this
week. What's our Jen What's Cooking?
I don't know why. When I was picking this one, I just felt breakfasty, so I picked one of your breakfast recipes.
Cool.
It's the pumpkin pancake recipe.
Oh, these are so good. I haven't made them in so long.
Yeah, I know it's not fall anymore, and when this episode is going up, I'm pretty sure it's going to be like April, maybe.
Well, the good news is you can buy a canned pumpkin any time of year.
Exactly.
And that's what you would use in this recipe. I'm not asking anyone to go out and like carve a pumpkin.
No.
Roast it.
No.
No.
I've heard that canned pumpkin.
I've heard that's not even that good, that like the canned stuff is better anyway.
Probably.
I don't know.
It's more stable, I think. They might pasteurize it. They probably do.
Oh, I never thought about that.
Either. Yeah.
Yeah, so pumpkin pancakes. So these are a pancake recipe that I make from scratch. So, you know, I'm doing the flour, the baking soda, like everything from scratch. But you could totally start with a pancake mix and add the pumpkin.
Yeah.
The thing is when you're adding something wet, like canned pumpkin, to a pancake mix, you just need to adjust either the
flour mixture a little bit. You'd probably have to add a little bit more of the dry ingredients to make sure it offsets the added moisture.
I remember when I was creating this too, I needed to up the baking powder because the wetness like made them really dense and I wanted them to be more fluffy. So look at the recipe if you want these to come out great. They're so yummy. It's a great way to introduce more fruit to your child's diet. If they are not fruit either, you're going to get some vitamin A, some extra fiber in there. And they're just fun and different and delicious.
Is anyone pumpkin a fruit? Them?
Yes.
Because it's a melon?
It's a gourd.
Oh, you're right. It's a gourd. My goodness, you're right.
And that's
a fruit.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
Interesting.
Food is so crazy.
Izzy learned something new today.
I always learn something new. I learn multiple things every day. I'm always learning.
That is good.
Yes, it is.
Never stop learning. Stay curious, my friends. I don't know. I don't know. Someone says that. Stay curious.
Curious George?
Me.
We're getting a little loopy. Sorry, guys.
Oh, my gosh. Good stuff. Yeah, I need to cook dinner. What are you having for dinner?
No idea. Not even. I made Where's dinner last plan, night. I made dinner last night. I made my family Asian-style turkey meatballs with quinoa and roasted kale and broccoli.
Oh, that sounds really delightful. Yeah,
my mom
was
very happy when she came home and dinner was
Yum.
All ready.
I want to live at your house. I'm roasting a chicken. I'm going to throw it in the Dutch oven.
Yeah, that needs to go in the oven soon. It's going
to
take a while.
It needs to go in now, yeah. All right, we will see you guys next time. We hope you enjoyed this episode.
Bye, guys.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of Mom, What's for Dinner? If you like what you hear, please be sure to rate and review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. If you need recipe inspiration or want to find out more about how to feed your kids, head on over to JenBelangerNutrition.com and check out the videos, blog, and shop tabs.
We'll see you soon for another episode.